గోవింద దేశికం ఉపాస్య శిరాయ భక్త్యాం తస్మిన్ స్థితే నిజమాహిమ్ని విదేహముక్త్యాం అద్వైత్య భాష్యం ఉపకల్ప దిశో విజిత్యాం కాంచీపురే స్థితం అవాపతా శంకరాయ రితిస్మృతి పురాణానాం ఆలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాద శంకరం లోకశంకరం అపార కరుణాసింధుం జ్ఞానతం శాంతరూపిణం శ్రీచంద్రశేఖర గురుం ప్రణమామి ఉదమ్యహం సదాశివ సమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. సీకింగ్ ది బెనిడిక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ఆది శంకరాచార్య అండ్ టు హిస్ లీనియేజ్ అప్ టు ది పాంటిఫ్స్ ఆఫ్ ది కామకోటి పీఠం ఐ రైజ్ టు అడ్రస్ యూ టుడే. ఇట్ గివ్స్ మీ గ్రేట్ ప్లెజర్ టు వెల్కమ్ యూ ఆల్ టు దిస్ ప్లెసెంట్ అండ్ సాలెం ఫంక్షన్ ఆర్గనైజ్ దిస్ ఈవినింగ్ టు కన్ఫర్ ది 18th SIS శ్రీ చంద్రశేఖరేంద్ర సరస్వతి నేషనల్ ఎమినెన్స్ అవార్డ్ టు 3 distinguished children of Mother India and to 2 foreigners who by their deeds, conduct and action are more Indian than most Indians are. This award is named after the Mahaswami of Kanchi, Pooja Sri Chandrasekharendra Saraswati, the 68th Shankaracharya of the venerated Kamakoti Peetham. Each one of the awardees have distinguished themselves in an identified field of human endeavor. In the aggregate, all these represent the full canvas of life itself. In a sense, therefore, this award is celebration of life itself. The sage of Kanchi walked this earth during the 20th century. An occasion like this is one of mirth, joy and glee, and of nostalgia down the memory lane, as to how an ordinary Brahmin boy from the Kannadiga Hoysala community, from an obscure village of Vidupuram in Tamil Nadu, graduated into a saint extraordinary who walked physically the length and breadth of this country, spreading goodwill and compassion. Like the lighthouse that beats no drum and sounds no gong, and yet to the mariner in the distant sea where to experience its friendly light, so too was the sage of Kanchi. On the 8th of January 1994, the sage shed his mortal coil and merged with divinity. We even today hear the divinity of his voice and the infinitude of his presence. The sage of Kanchi lives in the hearts and minds of his devotees. As we celebrate the life and times of these awardees today, there is also melancholy and grief that has enveloped us. Several of the awardees of yesteryears had terminated their life journey during the year. From a spectrum of science to spirituality, Bharat Ratna Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam, the former President of India who received this award in the year 1999. That Vedacharya, that Vedanta scholar Dr. Shivananda Murthy, Garu from Vizag, we are fortunate that his disciple David Frawley is receiving the award today. And that Nonagerian, who for 80 long years had enthralled people all over the globe with his mellifluous bhajans, they all passed away during the year. They might have moved away from the physical plane, but their inspiration is the warmth and woof and thought of the succeeding generations. They have carved for themselves a niche in the rocky temple of reverential gratitude. If you are meeting today to pay homage to the sage of Kanchi and to recall with gratitude, reverence and admiration his contribution to this nation, I believe it is immaterial to him as it was during his living times. He was far beyond honors, titles and accolades, and it is only we who mortals are ever looking for an occasion to bring home the reality that he symbolized. The sage was far beyond all these things, and yet we remember the sage only by bringing home the greatness of the sage. I have used this platform over the last 17 long years, I have attempted to bring home the greatness of the sage. Ananta Kalyana Guna Sampannaha is how the Lord is described, one who is endowed with all auspicious qualities. Such is the reservoir of goodness of the sage of Kanchi that one lifespan is inadequate to describe all that he possessed. And therefore, I have been using this occasion to bring home at least one or two facets of his personality, More so for people who have not experienced him. More so for people who have not seen him as to what is the greatness and the halo that surrounded the Mahaswami of Kanchi. I shall travel the same path today also. Saint Tyagaraja, in one of his famous kriti, says, Ne pogadukonture kodava Rama. O Rama, what do you lose if I do not sing in praise of you? It's equally true of the sage of Kanchi. Chanakya, in Arthashastra and the Niti Shastra that followed, says, Gate shloko na kartavyam, bhavishyam naiva chintayet, vartamana kale na vartayanti vichakshanaha. There is no sense in brooding over the past. There is not even need to worry about the future. The wise men only live in the present. It is equally so for us that we need not be unduly burdened by the failure of our democracy over the last 68 years of our independence, even though there have been sporadic successes of this nascent republic over this period. But today there is a whiff of fresh air that is blowing across the nation. There is a renewed optimism that social equity and justice will be provided to every Indian wherever he is. There is a greater sense of belonging to the nation and pride for the nation today, more so amongst the overseas Indians than ever before. And this confidence that is exuded in the environment does not come from the political masters or the political forces of this country. It is coming from the people themselves. There are 80 crore Indians who are below the age of 35. They are the architects of this nation. They are the makers of the destiny of this nation. They are the future of this nation. In their safe hands lies this nation. They are equal to the task. They are confident of taking this nation to its rightful place amongst the committee of nations, to take it to that league from where the world will look at them. Just 200 years before, India and China together contributed to 51% of the gross domestic product of the world. And today, we are not even in a fraction. But it is this population of the country, this demography that we are experiencing today, is capable of redefining this country. They will not only accelerate the path of development of this nation and put it on the track to grow, they would also revive, restore and bring back the pristine glory of the culture of this land. Fashion, my dear friends, has a very inherent trait. You go round to the world and come back and say, the one that I have is better than the best. Culture also is like that. Momentarily, our culture might have been enveloped at this juncture, point of time in history, by Western commercialization and materialism. But it would not be ere long before the pristine glory of the Vedic culture is brought back into this country and Vedas will guide human conduct and action. There is a mistaken belief that Vedas are religious. What are Vedas? Vedayati iti Vedaha. The one that provides a source of knowledge. If there is a source which provides the knowledge, it can never be beyond part of a religion or this thing, no matter from which origin it comes. Vedas are believed to have originated from the Lord himself. The Lord is defined as one who is flawless, limitless, boundless, and therefore the Vedas can be no different. Ananta vai Vedaha, that's how we say. They are eternal, but I shall come later that they can't be eternal. Vedokilo dharma moolam. Vedas are the proof of dharma. The social and the moral laws of this country are built on the edifice of the Vedic thoughts and culture. Vedas were synthesized from vibrations in space and given unto this world at the beginning of Kali Yuga by Bhagavan Vedavyasa. He gave 1,131 recensions, comprising of 21 in Rig, 101 in Yajurveda, 1,000 in Samaveda, and 9 in Atharva Veda. And the uniqueness of Vedas is that they were transferred through the sages. From Paliya to Jamini to Vaishampaya to Sumanta. And then from an Acharya to Yashishya, from father to son. This oral rendition and transfer of Vedas is very unique only to this culture of our land of ours, and it continues even today. But merely to say that Vedas are eternal, they will not be eternal unless we promote them, practice them, bring them into our mainstream life. We today have hardly 12 recensions of Vedas. And there can never be better time than now, at a time in the optimism in the country, to restore the pristine purity of Vedas and preserve at least these 12 recensions which are left over. Otherwise, they are under threat of extinction and will be fossilized and transferred into the archives. The UPA government, in the last leg of their rule, in the last budget that was presented, gave a very silent contribution in the budget. For the first time in the history of India, they allocated a budget of 5 crores of rupees for Vedas. And I think the present government can take a cue, increase the allocation substantially, and see that Vedic education survives in this country. Corporate social responsibility, said Mr. Ratan Tata recently, is a form of taxation. I should tell him that there is a difference in this taxation. The general taxation accrues to the state, and after the pilferage, after the leakages, after the administrative expenses, then only it flows down for public good and welfare. But this tax, if it were to be a tax as it is being said, remains with the payer, and therefore it is at his discretion to use it for public good. If we can create even 1,000 Vedic schools all over the country in the 4 shakas that we have, and not only offer just the Vedas, and combine it with mainstream education like SSC, CBSC, ICSC, then the education that will be provided will be contemporary, it will be relevant, it will be to the needs of time, it will be job-centric, and at the same time, the culture of this land would be preserved. And that we don't need a government to start. With the CSR being available, I am sure 1,000 well-meaning corporates can take a lead and bring the Vedic culture back. Then the governments may accelerate the process of bringing it. And that will be the greatest tribute that shall be paying to the likes of the Mahaswami of Kanchi, whose life mission was preservation and promotion of Vedas. If there are a few remnants of Vedas which are left over in the 21st century, it is thanks to the pioneering work that he had done in the 20th century. The media is abuzz with intolerance. A few isolated instances have been magnified, glorified, and the entire country has been painted black. It is not that such instances did not exist in the past, albeit they were on a level higher than what we had experienced now. But the difference is that we have a media which is hyperactive, which runs after TRP, and therefore does not mind glorifying anything that comes before us. There are also a few disgruntled elements who are unable to reconcile to the fact that the sleeping tiger in this nation has woken up, and the nation is on the march, and this is the decelerator, this is the brake that they would like to put so that this nation would not go to its destined place in history. Is it that we have changed or altered our conduct by such demonic proportions that we have become intolerant overnight? Certainly not. This is a nation that has given to the world the basic concept of compassion, harmony, tolerance, peace. Everything has come from this blessed land of ours. How can this land be divorced of that inherent quality that it has, by which it is known the world over? The Mahaswami of Kanchi used to eloquently speak about this character of the Hindu society in all his discourses over the 100 years of his sojourn in this universe. I shall try to connect them to the scriptures that he had done to bring home that tolerance is part of the Hindu society. The word Hindu means love. There is another meaning to it, which means absence of hatred, absence of abhorrence, and therefore ahimsa. To the first Westerners who came to this country crossing the river Sindhu, they mistook it as Hindu, and therefore civilization on the banks of Sindhu were called as Hindus. Every other religion has a founder. A founder who, based on the experience of the doctrine that he has, he gives unto his followers to practice and follow. But this is one religion which has no founder. Anadikalam, from times immemorial, this religion has been coming. And therefore it had no founder. And more interestingly, therefore the experience that has been given across is the experience of living that it has given, a way of life that it has given. Every other religion has been predated by this religion. Therefore, people who are experiencing the new thought in their religion were at some point of time or other part of this religion. So this is an all-encompassing religion. Today, globalization or liberalization is a product of the 20th century. Breaking down of economic barriers and creating a global village is a thought process that came only recently. But India gave unto the world the thought of a single family from the Vedic times. I am Nijahap Parovedi, Gananam Laguchetasam, Udhara Charitanam Tu, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. The entire universe is one family. The thought travels further in Ketopanishad when it says, Yastis Sarvani Bhutani, Atmaneva Anupashtiti, Sarvabhuteshu Cha Atmanam, Tattona Vikupase. He who sees himself in others and sees others in himself, the me in me, the you in you, all get dissolved. There is uniqueness of identity. There is a single creation of the Lord which is there. Where can there be hatred? Adi Shankara travels further and takes it in Bhajagovindam when he says, Toyimai Chanyatra Eko Vishnu. In you, me and others, there is the same Vishnu. So what is this impatience and intolerance that you have? If you want to exalt ever to the level of Vishnu, you should have the Sadbhavana and Samabhavana. Adavesha Sarvabhutanam, says the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, he who hates none is dear to me. This is the concept of tolerance that this country has given into this world. Garvapasi can never be retorted by award vapasi. The stage today is decorated by four Jambavans of our times. They are not men and women of ordinary achievements. They have risen above the self. They have stamped infinity on the thought and process of this nation and added to the reservoir of goodness of this blessed land of ours. In honoring them, I think we are honoring ourselves. On this day when we are celebrating the life and times of these awardees, one third of the world is celebrating the birth anniversary of Christ. In their celebration lies our celebration, because that is our thought. We extend to our Christian brethren all over the globe, Merry Christmas. Today is also a very special day. Today is the 92nd birth anniversary of Bharat Ratna, Atal Bihari Vajpayee Ji, who received this award in the year 2006. The power of his pen is far more potent than the power that the process of democracy gave unto him and pushed him to be the Prime Minister of this country. He wrote, mirrored the aspirations of people through his poems. Ahuti baki yajna adura, apno ko vigno se gera, antim jai ki vrajya banaye, naye dadichi addiya udaye, avo fir se diya jalaye, avo fir se diya jalaye. He says, let us light the lamp of hope again and usher in the second freedom. Let us all pray for his good health. And I think the greatest tribute that we can pay to this awardee of ours is to light that second lamp soon and bring that light which will take this nation forward. As I come to the end of my address, may the Jaganmata Kamakoti Kamakshi shed her grace on all these people who are decorating the stage today. May she give them a long span of life so that they can achieve the purposes of her life. May she bless us too, so that we can draw a leaf from the lives of nobility of these persons and make our life sublime. Thank you, and God bless us all.